You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Greetings from Big Timber, Montana, on a Thursday morning. Mike McNamara for a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. So, good morning to you. So let's see, in the last 24 hours, I left Fort Smith, Montana, went to Billings, dropped James Moran off, who you heard from yesterday, at the airport, and then headed to Big Timber, Montana. And as you've heard before, Montana, just beautiful state. So beautiful state to drive in. And so had a nice drive over here. And then the reason I'm in Big Timber is the executive officer of Regimental Combat Team 1 in 2010-2011 was Rob Schwartz. And Rob, when he retired, took a job as a, I think he'd call it a ranch manager. So, yeah, this thing used to be a horse and cattle ranch. It still is, I think, a cattle ranch. They have cattle here. And so Rob took a job up here. And it's like 9 miles off the road, off the beaten path. So you hop on a county road, right, which is an improved an improved surface road. It's for a little bit, not too long, maybe a mile. It might be asphalt. And then after that, it's dirt with some gravel. And so you head down that about 9 miles and hang a left. And the road goes down a ridgeline. You hang a left, and you drop down kind of into this valley. And so that's where we are. Now, F-18 man, Kurt Knowles, he's up here. He flew up here a couple days ago and with his oldest son. And so just got a chance to see them yesterday and finally come up and visit this place that I've heard so much about. And Montana, at least the parts I've seen, is spectacular. This place, I don't know how many, you know, would sell for, you know, 10, 20, somewhere, I don't know, $10, $20 million. And, you know, it's just multiple houses on the property. The views are beautiful. And so it's beautiful. But then, so on top of all that, we get here yesterday, and F-18 man's son is down fly fishing. And I want to say he's 14. And so we go down there. We hang out, and I'm starting to fall asleep. I went to bed at midnight, got up at 3:45. I think I got like maybe 4 hours sleep the night before, and then and probably the same the two nights before. So I was like beat. So I said, hey, man, I got to go take a nap, or I'm going to be non-functional. So F-18 man brought me up here. So I crashed for a couple hours. And then they came up, and we went shooting. Now, Montana man has set up this shooting range that's pretty impressive. So you go out, you know, to this to the top of this ridge line, and then he hangs a left onto this spur, and there's this platform that he's built there. And he's got it leveled, and, you know, it's looks like a professional event, right? He's got it matted with some rubber matting, and it looks great. There's a picture of it that'll go with this post. But anyway, so, so then from this finger off the ridgeline, you go down, and there's a valley, and then it comes up, and you know it's going up to another ridge line, and so you have targets at 200 meters, and they're not like all on the same line. Like the 200 meter one is to the left and down. The 400 meter target is to the right of that, and maybe two fingers beyond that. The 600 meter target is to the right of that, kind of in the center of the range. And, you know, from those three tree stumps to, you know, and between that clump of trees drop south about 200 meters. That's a 600 meter one. We didn't even shoot the 800 meter one when we started our competition. And then there's a target at 1,000 meters. And so it was Montana man who did not contribute much. I will tell you that. And which was a shock. And me against Rudy and his kid, and Rudy was so it's points based by distance, right? So if you want to plug the 200 meter target, you know, you can. You had 10 shots. We shot in two strings of 5 rounds each, and you know, you can smoke the target at, you know, 200, 400, 600, probably as much as you want. Except for all you shooters out there, the wind was blowing. So, and we're not talking about like normal wind. We're talking about like Montana wind. Yeah, like robust wind. So, but the most fun part for me always is the shit talking that goes with shooting like this. It is, I mean, I look, for me, whether we're playing that cornhole game where you're throwing those bean bags, or you're playing this, or you're shooting, just standing there talking trash is the most fun. And especially with people you've talked trash with before. So, so we get ready to shoot. Now, you have to picture this. Like, somebody's going to be in the prone position, and I think we're shooting 6.5 ammunition millimeter or caliber, and we're shooting a bolt action rifle, scoped and suppressed. So not too hard on your ears, but if you're like me and you've lost a lot of your hearing, you put it on anyway. And then Rob's got a scope set up so you can spot the target, right, and see if you actually hit it or not. So I told, so they're shooting warm-up rounds. I said, I'm not shooting those. I'll shoot behind Rob. Rob, you get the dope, and then I'll shoot. So we went, and I think we could go through the first round. And Rob was not, I mean, he's the man. I mean, he shoots competitively. Yeah, he'll go to matches. I think, though, for pistol. But nonetheless, he can shoot. He's a shooter and a gun dude. So, we end the first round. I think my team was a little bit ahead of F-18 man's team. So Rob and me were a little bit ahead. I was the stellar shooter in the first round. 5 for 5 on the target. I don't think I hit the red at 800 yards, at 600 yards. But nonetheless, everybody else was south of that. So needless to say, they heard about that a little bit. And then what happened was F-18 man, he shot on a 1,000-yard target, right? And whether you hit the white or you hit the bullseye, you know, in the center, I mean, that's a lot more points. So F-18 man keeps his team in it by hitting the 1,000-meter line and then at the target. And then, but I'm pretty confident, right? Rob's going to turn his mediocre shooting around and whatever. So we do the math, right? And we start shooting. So my turn comes. I said, okay, what do we need me to do? We'll stay on the 1,000-yard target, and we got to put a little distance and heat on these guys. So I want to say I hit – the second time I shot at the 1,000 yards, I want to say I hit 2 out of 5 shots. Rob might have done the same. Neither one of us hit the red. And the red is big points. Rudy comes up as the last shooter, and he had to get, like, he had to hit the red, and he hit it twice. Yeah, smoked it twice. Rudy can shoot. And so, it was if you can imagine, I mean, just the fun. I mean, you know, we've all been friends since, for 10 years. In fact, 10 years right about now. When I joined them, and they had already been preparing to go to Afghanistan. So this is kind of a 10-year reunion for us. And then we've all stayed in touch, and you're just in this spectacular place, and you're shooting, and which is always fun, and talking shit, which is always fun. And then when you combine the two, a lot of fun. So from there, we leave, and the cool part about hanging out with farmers and ranchers is that, I mean, they have, like, they shoot all over the place. So we come back to Rob's headquarters, and it's got, like, multiple houses. It's got the house where he lives. It's got the quote-unquote headquarters. It's got a barn. It's got a garage, right? And shit's everywhere, right? Bunch of ATVs. So he says, okay, we're going to shoot pistol. All right, let's do this shit. So he's got a .22 with a silencer on it. And so it's easy on your ears and target shooting. So it's kind of, we do static lines shooting, and there's like 1, 2, 3, 4 targets, silhouette targets that he puts up. And then he's got this competition way of shooting, right? He's got this timer. And so, you know, you get ready on the firing line, and then he hits the button, and you hear a beep, and that's your signal to shoot, right? So you start shooting, and this thing's timing you, and then, you know, when you finish shooting, it senses the last shot, and then nothing after it for X period of time, and then it gives you the time from first shot to last shot, or from the time the beep went off to the last shot. And then you go in, and you add seconds for, you know, shots out of, off the target, misses, and then, you know, a bullseye is, you know, you're expected to get a bullseye. Everything else adds time. So anyway, so we do that. And now I'll give you a philosophy about pistol shooting. I've never been a stationary, like, hit in the red pistol shooter. Now, that's what you have to do to qual and to get badges. So, you know, obviously we all did that. But my experience in life in terms of watching guys shoot is that, and even with my sons when they were growing up and we shot, is that until you make somebody move and get their heart moving a little bit and, right, change their eye level, change their shooting position, like that's good fundamental, you know, stationary shooting for fundamental techniques, but you really can tell if somebody's learned those things if you can do it just add a little bit of duress. And so with my kids in North Dakota, when they were learning to shoot, and both my kids like to shoot, and my oldest son is legitimately, although John was born in 29 Palms, he's a North Dakota kid through and through. He's a shooter. He's a fisherman. And he will, when he gets done working, he will move back up to this part of the world and live his fantasy life forever. So anyway, and his wife is from Western North Dakota. So Susie, who you heard on the program, she spent a fair amount of time in Montana. And so just beautiful. And so anyway, when we would go, after they learned how to, you know, the first thing you teach your kids is, you know, every weapon's loaded. And so when they were younger guys, we would go to shoot and, you know, the rifle, the shotgun, the pistol would all be in the back of the truck or the back of the car. And most of the time in the back of the truck, put the tailgate down, you know, define where the firing line is and the weapons come out. They have trigger locks on them, right? They go to the firing line, right? The locks come off, right? They're made safe, bolts to the rear, blah, 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 blah. And so everything's good. And then, you know, we get the ammunition out and, you know, everything's always safe. Everything's always checked before it comes off the line. Everything's checked twice before we lock it and put it back in the truck. So, I mean, that's the way my sons have grown up. And so then they learned how to shoot both. And they learned to shoot Marine weapons. And they learned to shoot the 45 pistol, which is not easy for a kid because of the kick. They learned to shoot the M78 Remington pump action shotgun, which was a Marine Corps staple for a lot of years. And then they learned how to shoot the M1 Garand. Yeah, World War II rifle. And then I bought an M4, which is, you know, the weapon that you see so much and saw so much in Iraq and Afghanistan, which compared to the M1 is like a BB gun. So anyway, I would take them out to shoot and we would go to this place. I want to say it was near a place called Reynolds or Buxton, about 18 minutes from where we lived. And it was this bermed area. So the berms had to be, I don't know, literally 20 feet high, 30 feet high, maybe. They were really tall. So the ground sloped a little bit, and whoever owned the property, you know, was berming probably to channel water away from fields. And so this thing's been there for years. Well, people have thrown washing machines, you know, furniture, and people go out there and shoot. So I heard about it and took my sons out there. So, I mean, you know, we shoot. And then one day I said, okay, now we're going to do this. You're going to start in the prone position, right? When I say go, you got to jump up and you run and you flop down. Right, and you got to shoot, and you got to shoot within 2 seconds, right? And you'll hear me. You may not hear me yelling, but you got to shoot fast. You can't like flop down, lay there, breathe for 15 seconds, acquire the target. You can't do that. You got to flop down and shoot because he's going to shoot you. All right. And then you got to roll, hop up, run. You got to dive over that log. You got to dive over that. You got to hit. You got to roll right, and you got to pop up, and you got to shoot. Okay. Then you got to run on that target, then you got to stop right in the offhand and standing position. You got to shoot, and again within 2 seconds. And so my sons, they love that stuff, right? They love that stuff, and they learn, you know, shooting's not easy. You know, shooting's not easy. So I mean, it's one thing when you're doing static stuff. So anyway, I tell you that because it's so much fun, you know. And again, you have to go in steps with it, obviously. First you got to understand safety, then you got to understand shooting, and then you kind of crawl, walk, run with moving them. And so anyway, so we did a version of that afterwards. So we do the static line thing, And so next time I said, well, let's move, right? And so this the range we're shooting in, like, Rob's, the it's this big driveway outside of his shop, right? And then on the far side of the driveway is, you know, the slope of the hill. And he's got metal targets up there, right? So there's white metal targets hanging on U-shape steel, and spray painted white with a silhouette, you know, a chicken, right? And whatever is painted. And so, okay. So we're going to combine. You got to start in the standing position, just like we did before. One round into the target, right? There are two rounds into the target. And then you got to move laterally, and then you got to go to a knee. And then you got to engage the metal target on the hill. Then you got to stand up, move laterally, at least one step, and you got to hit the cardboard silhouette laterally again, down to a knee, hit another cardboard silhouette, stand up, and then hit a metal target. So it was four cardboard targets and two metal targets, and so we did that, and it's hilarious because just that little, and you're shooting for speed. You know, can you even hit the target now? Let alone the red. And so we did that, and it was fun. It was hilarious. I am the fastest shooter and the best shooter. That's right. They will grudgingly have to admit that, but that was in fact the case. And then we came back up here, and we cooked dinner. We had a little flank steak last night, marinated flank steak with baked potato and asparagus. So, and then hung out and shot the shit till about, I don't know, 11 o'clock midnight and then hit the rack. So, I don't know what we're doing today. Rob's going to Big Timber, so I want to tag along with him cause I haven't seen him. When was the last time I saw him? I couldn't even tell you now that I think about it. You know, I talked to him a fair amount, but I can't remember the last time I saw him. So today, at some point, I'm sure we'll shoot and do a little fishing, although I'm not the world's biggest fisherman. And then tomorrow, and hang out again here tonight, and then tomorrow head over to Helena at some point in the afternoon and meet a bunch of Marines from 3rd Battalion, 4th Marines, who were in the march up. In the spring of 2003 from Kuwait to Baghdad. And so meet them and then do post-mac winning on Saturday and then drive to Billings on Sunday and go home. So, yeah. But I have to tell you that it's been just an absolute awesome week, as it normally is when I'm doing post-traumatic winning. And then I have to tell you, I want to read an email that somebody sent me yesterday. And this is just my life. And so this hits my inbox yesterday. Mac, I hope the class for the next group went well and things are good in Montana. Your program is fucking legit. I like that it starts with Marines. It's not institutionalized dogma. And it gives Marines a way to turn their experience into a continued form of service. Now, the guy who wrote this got blown up pretty good in Afghanistan. And, I don't know, probably 30, 32, 33 years old. So anyway, it goes on. I look at it as a way of getting Marines back in the fight, which is where some of us want and need to be. Simply put, thank you. I'm looking forward to figure out how we can bring this to the kids we coach, as well as others. And then he sent me a couple pictures. Looking forward to speaking again and getting some work done. And so to me, the best part of what I do, and that's an awesome example, is showing people that there's a path that they can use their pain and the things they've learned through their pain to go to a better place, a place that looks like, you know, the tops of one of these mountains here in Montana. And an absolutely beautiful place, and you can spend your life doing it. You don't need a PhD to help, and to ease the pain of people. And then, but when the wires connect, and you know, and these emails are things that, you know, absolutely positively never ever get old. It's just the warmest feeling and best feeling in the world. So. I don't know that I could have ever envisioned that when I even started post-traumatic winning, I believed that this would happen, but the reality is so much better than anything I ever thought it would be. It's amazing. So good morning to you on this Thursday morning. You're supposed to hear from Montana Man, F-18 Man this morning. We won't do Lynch Kenny because I don't have the connectivity to do it up here. It would have to be a series of Skype calls. In order to do that, you need X amount of bandwidth, and that is not what I have up here. So, Montana Man and F-18 Man are supposed to be up, but I don't hear F-18 Man moving. He is an aviator, and they are a little bit more high maintenance. But hopefully Rob will be walking in here in a few minutes, and we'll get him on here, and we'll talk about life up here in Montana. So, good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band. Oh, what was that? The United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official on a Thursday. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to Montana Man, who's being a great host, and also to the Marine who wrote that email that I shared with you. You know, just a proposition that somebody would come and, you know, sit through that presentation and get their life changed and then seize the path that changes other people's lives. Great on top of great on top of great on top of great. It's beyond good. So, and then you're in the company of your friends, and which is great as well. So, just an awesome week up here in Montana, and the best part about it is that there's more on the horizon. So, looking forward to it. So, this is dedicated to Montana Man and the Marine that wrote that email to me.
Our flag comes to the betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fighting. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
We will check the weather today. Something I neglected yesterday, but I was in a hurry, so forgive me. Currently in Quantico, it is sunny and 79. Down the coast of Camp Lejeune, it is sunny and 83. On 29 Palms, it is sunny and 78. Camp Pendleton reporting cloudy and 66. Camp Smith in Hawaii. Morning dawning in Hawaii, cloudy in 72. Okinawa, dark, cloudy in 80. In Afghanistan, where I'm not sure Task Force Southwest is anymore. Yeah. Big announcement yesterday that the coalition base in the Helmand province was closed. So I have to get an update from somebody in the know. But anyway, in the Helmand province, it is sunny and 104. In Iraq, where Special Purpose MAGTAF, composed of Marines, does its work, it is sunny and 112 degrees. Currently, at the home of All Marine Radio, where I am not, yeah, it is 66 degrees, headed for 74 this afternoon. And let me get the currents here in Big Timber, Montana. So currently, it is 55 degrees under sunny skies, looking for a high of 91 degrees today. Yeah, I'm not sure I believe that, 91 stuff. But anyway, it was beautiful yesterday, you know. T-shirt weather or long sleeve t-shirt with the wind blowing or whatever. Anyway, we'll take a break when we come back. Hopefully, Montana Man shows up. I was just bad mouthing Rudy. He actually staggered out of his bedroom. So, yeah, trying to like energize himself with whatever coffee trash he drinks, which he's addicted to. So, yeah, even though he's a pilot, he's got his vices. So, no, he actually climbed out of his bed. So, that's good. So, we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to my dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Pop a top again. I've just got time for one more round. Set them up, my friend. Then I'll be gone and you can let some other fool sit down. I'd like for you to
normally when Montana Man comes on the program, when he's actually Indiana Man, like I'm making him a lot more than he is, but anyway, when he shows up, he's a Kid Rock guy, but I forgot to play Kid Rock. But Alan Jackson's not bad. The joining us from Big Timber, Montana, are both two friends of mine. We've been about this time 10 years ago is when we first all met. I got to meet Rob Schwarz, Indiana Man, also known as Montana Man, but because Colonel Furness at the time said, this dude's got to go. And then I'd spoken to Rob a couple times, like, who is this dude and why does he have to come with us? And then he met, and then it all came together for him. So we're being hosted by him and then Kurt Knowles. You guys know him as F-18 Man, who stands me up on a regular basis, and I'm not good with that. Just so both these fuckers do it. So we're going to talk, about that after we talk about a little bit of shooting. So first of all, Rob, I mean, what a beautiful, absolutely beautiful place up here.
Yeah, you don't find many of them like this. That's why I'm here.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, so you're born and raised in Indiana. You go to school on the East Coast, little preppy kid, military kid. You join the Marine Corps. First of all, how does doing what you're doing, what exactly, ranch manager, ranch management, what exactly, what is that shit called?
Ranch managing.
Ranch managing. How does that get on your horizon, and then how the hell do you get up here?
I retired. Went to work for the Forest Service, found out they were an organization I didn't want to be a part of. And
that is a funny story. You could hear that on one of the interviews. If you search Montana Man on the podcast, because what was there, a forest fire?
And that was the straw.
That was the straw.
Just watching the endless amounts of money being spent and absolutely nothing being accomplished, I was like,
Over in Idaho?
That was in Idaho, yeah.
Okay, now I recall. That's how you initially got up here, and you got your place in Idaho, and it was such a dispiriting experience that they let you go, and they understood, right?
Yeah. Well, I was lucky enough to, and he's still a good friend of mine who was my boss at the time. I went to him, and I said, look, I'm going to go to horseshoeing school, and it's 3 months, and I got about a month to leave, so I'll take that, and then I'll just take 2 months non-paid if that works. I don't know how you government folks do that, but he said, yeah, no, we can do that. So did that, came back on a Friday, sat down with my wife, and I'm like, I am not going back to that place. And mulled it over the weekend, and then Sunday night I call my boss, and I said, hey, where are you at? He said, I'm in the office. I said, I'll be there in a minute. Go into the office. I said, I'm not coming to work tomorrow morning. He's like, why? I'm like, because this place sucks. And, you know, his face just drops. I'm like, dude, you have no idea how much I hate it. And he understood. And I told him, hey, I'll give you 2 weeks of my time just to cover your ass because you're a friend. And he said, dude, if you hate it that much, get the hell out. And I was like, I mean, it was freaking a vapor trail. And then I went shoeing horses for 4 or 5 years. And then just got a call out of the blue to come run this place. A buddy of mine runs a 20,000-acre place in Texas, and he had a kid that worked for him that was running a guy's ranch in Texas. He got offered the job up here, couldn't take it, was asked for a recommendation, gave him my name, and just out of the blue, this dude from Texas calls and says, hey, you want to run a 12,000-acre ranch in Montana? I was like, you know, I kind of don't like people, and I like working for people less, but I'll come look. And I came up here and saw what you see now, and I just brought the wife over and said, what do you think? And she said, let's give it a whirl for 5 years. And here we are 5 years later.
What is the had you spent much time in Montana? You're a hunter. Had you spent much time up here?
I have, but mostly over in the Bitterroot Valley, further west, a little more severe country.
In terms of mountainous terrain.
Yeah, and steepness and getting around. And
Montana, for those of you who don't know, I mean, when you go west to east, it starts, I mean, west, just on the western edge of the southwest corner is Yellowstone. I mean, and just the beauty, but, you know, the mountainous region. And then as you go east, you know, North Dakota at some point this, you know, descends into the Great Plains. And about halfway through North Dakota, right, you can roll a bowling ball and it'll stop in Iowa, and it gets flat. So starting off in the mountains. The all right, Kurt Knowles is here. And so this has been, like, awesome for me because I earlier part of this week, in the weekend, I was running around doing post-traumatic winning. And in our little, for me, the chat window that we all talk in is called Ask Clowns. So whenever Ask Clowns comes up, I know it's these groups. So I'm coordinating with Rob about coming over, and Rob's saying, hey, I need your itinerary, man. I'm like, all right. And then Rudy says, hey, you know, he says, hey, like, could I, you know, would you, you know, can I bring my son up? And so Rudy's here. So first of all, thanks for coming up, man. I mean, this is awesome.
No, thank you guys. It's, you know, especially for Rob, let's come up here. And Brock's never been up to Montana, so it's been just an epic experience for him. Been able to
never shot
anything live. So he's been shot handguns. Rob's been supplying unlimited amounts of ammunition. I think my bill's like tallying up, but handguns and rifles. He's never squeezed anything off live. We've done some snapping in the backyard, but never. And some basic safety rules, but never done anything live. So he's just ecstatic about that. And then, of course, he loves to fish. And he's, you know, salmon fished and bass fished, but he's never fly fished. So Rob taught him how to fly fish. So he's been fly fishing up here and still has yet to land one, but he's definitely got
He was in, like, the fishing coma yesterday when I was like, I got to go to sleep.
And he'll do it for hours.
And I'm watching Brock, and Brock is, like, totally fixated on his casting, and he's up and down. He's telling you, hey, Dad, blah, 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 blah.
Because I see this one over here.
And then Rob shows up, and then Rob makes it even worse because he's like, shh. And he's walking down the pond and doing all that fly fishing shit. And I mean, it's awesome. And then we have to talk about shooting yesterday a little bit. Explain the range, Rob. I mean, it's like,
it's something I've never
seen
before.
First of all, it's beautiful. You go down a ridgeline and out to like a little spur, and you got a little platform out there. And then I want to talk about, you know, so explain to everybody what the range is, and then can we talk about the 2,000-yard target?
Yeah, we can. No, it's a 1,000-yard range and 200-yard increments. And the way it's set up in a big bowl, there's – three different fingers that targets are on, which makes your wind call pretty serious. And especially yesterday, we were blowing in variations of 6 to 18 miles an hour. So it's tough. It's a true test of your wind calling. And then we had put a 2,000-yard target out. The range is right on the edge of the property line, and adjacent to us is the National Forest Service. And we thought nobody would ever pay attention to a 3-foot by 3-foot piece of steel out in the forest. So we lug it out there in parts because it's heavy and it's hard to get to, set it up, come back, shoot at it one day, and then we had a prospective buyer for the ranch come out and we were going to bring him out to shoot. I said, we got a 2,000-yard target out there, and I sling my spotting scope over to the ridge it's on and there's nothing there. I'm like, how the freaking hell? Where did it go? I mean, it weighs 150 pounds.
And it's didn't blow away.
And it's freaking hard to get there. Like a side-by-side is, you've got to walk it in. You know, somebody's got to be in front of you, walking you up the hill, making, you know, you're on two wheels occasionally. It's just, it's not something you just stroll over and drag off. So it just.
Somebody had to be committed to dragging that thing out of there?
Somebody was committed.
Wow. Do you think that your previous experience with the federal government over in Idaho, do you think that seeped around and said, hey, we finally got him?
I actually was kind of doing a little surveillance on the Forest Service building in town, just kind of looking through their yard and back. Like, these assholes freaking have
where
this
is
stack
this
behind the
if
office.
If you had seen it, would you have taken it back?
I would eventually got it back somehow.
Yeah, I would have.
I would have made that happen, especially with interns around. You know, they don't care.
The interns that are legendary on this program.
Yeah.
The and you've had an intern incident here most recently.
Which one?
With an ATV?
No.
No?
No, that was last year.
I thought somebody recently like had an event on an ATV. No?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, Kevin's intern, the guy that leases the grass and runs his cows out here, his intern flipped her ATV.
That's the story.
That's the one we're talking about.
I thought it was one of mine. It was one of his. And, he looked at me and goes, I don't know what the fuck she was doing. I don't know how she got where she was. And
well,
she
people,
just came
truth
back.
Be told, ATVs, I mean, first of all, they kill a lot of people.
Sure.
Because people go fast on them and, you know, and they flip and they do bad shit. You were watching Brock try to turn one around because we were coming one way down the road. He was coming another. And the, you know, one side of the, it's the road's on a slope. Brock's now trying to turn this thing around, which was a relatively skilled event in a relatively narrow area. And I was being critical of Rob because I said, if you're interested in that ATV and your road, you might want to get your ass out of this truck and go help him. He's like, he's just watching him. He's critical eyeing it. I'm like, by the time you intervene, it's going to be too
he's
late.
He's going to be over the edge.
Hey, do you know, he pulled it and off, though.
He did.
Not by much.
He never budged. He never made a move for the car door. I will say that.
That's a future aviator right there. I got this.
He was committed to staying in that truck. And then, so Rudy wins the long-distance shooting championship with Rob contributing very little. So before we allow Rudy to thump his chest, what happened to you? I mean, I'm like, look, all I got to do is outshoot Brock. I know I can do that, okay? Because you're going to outshoot Rudy, and you essentially shit the bed on us. So what happened?
Well, it's like golf. We set it up like golf. You know, first guy on the tee is at a disadvantage.
Correct.
Because everybody behind him is going to watch what club he's using, how the wind reacts, all those things. So I figured this is my range. I know it best. I'll shoot first and be the guinea pig. And basically put the dope that I validate on the gun on everybody else's gun behind me. And Rudy's shooting last. So he's
there were some practice shots taken, not to blow you.
There were.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so.
And that's when we were validating the dope on the gun. And
so you were going to refine it?
Right. And then hand it off to you knuckleheads. And Rudy's shooting last, figuring, you know, Brock's there in the middle. You know, we'll give them that tactical advantage. And it came to bite us in the ass.
Well, see, it was the Knowles team. Let's just clarify, the teams were the Knowles team against you two experts. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
for the record, I was 5 for 5 on the 600-yard target, which nobody else was. And Rudy didn't shoot all 5 of his rounds at that. But I just want to say, and I took no warm-up shots. I said, Bob, you better dial that bitch in because if you do – I wasn't sure what was going to happen.
But you took 5 minutes between each shot.
But no, it was way longer than that.
But that
I had a headache.
I did.
By the time he put 5 rounds downrange, and I was hunting the beer.
I think he was waiting for the wind to die down.
No, I could not find the target.
And then you got up and freaking did calisthenics. And like,
I was in that position. I was in that position for too long. I was like, my body rigor mortis started to set in.
Yeah, exactly. My eye was starting to black out in the spotting.
So now that was the first 9. On the back 9, you didn't contribute so much either.
Yeah, no, at the 1,000-yard, I did.
What did you contribute? Because I don't.
We need the. I don't know where the scorecard is.
I think
I dropped 30 on that.
I think I've got it in my room. I take it home.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Put it on the fridge.
You know Rudy's got that thing.
I know. I hit the 1,000 twice, and that contributed. The problem was Rudy followed right behind, and all that dope validated on the gun, he just started laying him in at 1,000.
Do you want to talk about your shooting, Rudy? Like, first of all, did you grow up shooting?
No, I was all trained by the Marine Corps. So, you know,
but you're a good shot.
I'd say I'm good. I mean, I got close to the range record at Pendleton, but I, you know, I'll say that it goes back to what we've all been teaching Brock the last few days is just the fundamentals, right? It's just breathing. It's just sight alignment. It's just those basic fundamentals we learned in the Marine Corps and. You know, breath control and trigger squeeze and let the round explode
and
surprise you.
At 1,000 yards in the wind, I mean, you know that God loved you yesterday. Because you didn't hit the target, you hit in the red. Now, I'm not going to throw out the sun shines on a dog's ass every once in a while relative to your shooting because you did it three times.
Well, I'll tell you this. We all know Rob's awesome, right?
I'm questioning that. I mean, it's like I think he's got a lot of shit. He should be awesome, but
Rob's spotting.
Not so much.
Rob's spotting me, and I get one in the red, 1,000 yards out. And I made like one click right because he called it. I think it was like at 10 o'clock on the red. So then I squeeze another one. And when you hear somebody of Rob's caliber go, dang, like that's you were on top of the
my heart sunk when he said that. He's like, I heard you could hear the noise, right? Bing, about a couple seconds after the shot. And I'm thinking, shit, he hit metal. And then Rob says, dang. I'm like, fuck.
No, that was like one shot, and then the next one was like an inch from it. 1,000 yards. I was like, shit.
And again, given the wind yesterday.
It was dying down at that point.
That's
we
impossible.
We were starting to lose wind at that point. It was becoming much more constant.
Yeah, I think it's more like 10 knots can sustained. Earlier it was gusty. It was like 8 to 17 gusting, you know.
Yeah, when we threw the wind meter up, I was like, oh, shit, it's going to be a long day. And we're just throwing money down into the dirt.
But 1,000 yards, I mean, heck, that's fun. How often do you ever get to shoot a 1,000-yard target? You know, it was
I've never shot at that distance.
Yeah, I never me either. So it was so fun.
But I'll tell you what, but I mean, it's absolutely beautiful out there. I mean, it's you're up on a ridgeline. Rob's got this great platform built, and no, you're hanging out and talking shit a little bit. And then
a little bit. 10 minutes in, I was like, fuck, my head already hurts. This is going to be miserable. The sun's blazing down on me, and it's windy, and I got to listen to this shit for freaking an unknown amount of time.
So you knew he loved it.
And then you just took for freaking ever. I'm like, how much beer's in the
say,
cooler? I'm
you
getting
did
the
say,
beer cooler if this continues.
The only good part of this is he's not talking. I did hear that.
Well, there was silence for freaking just, you know, a little bit. And I was like, God, that's nice.
So then we come down to the garage, and the thing I always love about hanging out with farmers and ranchers is they shoot everywhere. It's like, oh, you mean you walk out of the garage, and yeah, there's all these targets. Oh, and we're just going to shoot them? Yeah. Why do you think they're there? Like, I don't know if you paint them there and take them someplace else. No, what are you stupid? So we did, well, you shoot competitively, right?
Yeah.
Would you call it that?
Yeah.
That's why I thought you were really good, and then yesterday I'd like.
I've been shooting
maybe
a lot
not.
More. Well, I've been shooting a lot more pistol lately, and that's the competitions I've been.
So, shooting. What kind of competition?
International Defense Pistol Association. It's realistic scenarios.
And that's the video you showed us where you're moving and looking around.
Right.
And
you know, you build scenarios. You know, one scenario was last match. You're playing a card game, and it's no kidding. You're sitting at a table. And there's targets, 5 yards in front of you, arrayed like guys sitting at a table, and you've got to, throw down your cards.
So you're playing cards?
Yeah.
Are you drinking?
No, you're not.
So it wasn't as realistic as it should be.
No. They kind of do that for safety. And then, you got to throw down your cards, and you have the option to stand and back away from the table or just sit from shooting. And this is all on a timer. So you're graded on time and then accuracy. You get a base time, and then your targets are reviewed, and accuracy, time is added based on misses or how far out of center you are. So we did that and set up our own little scenario yesterday afternoon after the rifle range. I figured I better do something to redeem my reputation.
I was thinking the same thing. It was a matter of chance. I was thinking the same thing.
I wasn't going to let that rest forever. So I'm wondering if we've still got the scorecard for the pistol portion.
Oh, you know that you're a better pistol shot, so you have to
I've been practicing.
You have to assert your dominance over the group.
Exactly. Well, fuck. If I didn't, then
you're right.
I'd be having this rifle range conversation for eternity. So I figured I better do something.
So the way, so tell us about that. Tell us about that timer thing you got, right? So Rob sets up this. It was like four cardboard targets, and then two on the hill behind the targets that are metal, and you had to shoot, right? So explain the timer thing that we did.
It's just it records the shots. I mean, it just
specifically designed to shoot.
That's it.
So you say you're ready. You hit the button, and then. you hear a tone, and then
that
thing just starts
listening.
Right.
You know, so it'll tell you how long it takes you to get the pistol out of the holster to the first shot, and then your shot to shot time, and then as a training tool, it tells you, you know, how long it takes you to transition from one target to the next based on, you know, you just look through the number of rounds you shoot, and it's a great tool to get fast. And
who's fast, though? Let's tell the truth. Who's the king of fast on that range yesterday?
You.
Thank you. That's all you got to say. You don't need any other. You don't need any other to say any other fucking thing.
After I read the time off the timer, hey, Mac, that's pretty fast. You know, 7.76 seconds.
6.8.
Right. Then we add up. Then we go to the targets, and I said, okay, so you missed every steel target.
I didn't miss every one. I missed the last one with the second round. Oh, no.
No.
I only shot 11 rounds. I only shot 11 rounds because whoever loaded my shit fucked it up.
Then we gave you credit for one you didn't even shoot just because I felt bad. You know, we're adding upwards of 30 seconds onto your time based on you didn't hit shit.
Scared him, though.
Scared the shit out of him.
Hey, look, that's important.
It's a lot of rounds.
You know, especially I shoot with
turkey on the hill.
I have a 45, so if you shoot with 45, right, you just got to nick them, and then when they fall down, then you can shoot their ass the second time. The second round is the one that counts. First one is attention gainer, right?
Bracketing.
Spin them, knocking them around a little bit. Then the second one, that's the business round. So we do that, and Rob was like, he was like the man on that because that's what he does. And so then the second string of fire was you had to move, right? You had to go from standing to kneeling. Different target, and you had to take a step.
I wish
ladder.
I had taken a video of that because it looked more like some kind of polka dance that you set up.
Well, you know, I mean, it was
take a step, kneel. Shoot one, take a step, kneel. I was like, there should be music to this shit.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
We could be
idea.
A little more creative.
It's not a bad idea
than this because little.
Because there was, I don't want people to judge us, but there was alcohol involved while we were shooting, so it was realistic. Unlike the scenario that that we're playing cards, but there's no alcohol involved, so that's like totally unrealistic. So this was, right, this was, and you were saying that you actually become a better shot at, you said what, 1.5 beers, 1 to 3?
It's like throwing darts.
1.5 beers to 2 beers, I am money. And then 2 beers on, it just goes straight downhill. So generally, I got to taper off
right. there. But I just so when we put movement in there and change in your eye relief, right, relative to the target, I crushed everybody. I was like at 29 seconds with all the subtractions. Okay.
No, those were your additions.
Rob was at, you were at 40. Rudy was like at 70. He's like slow as molasses.
I gave him that side alignment.
Yeah, he was. He's dead as fried chicken. If that chicken target had a gun, you'd be dead as fried chicken. What's the best part of living up here? I mean, you're around, but again, you're between Idaho and Montana a little bit, but
sure.
Best part about living up here is what?
God, it's just the environment. I mean, the air, the freedom, you know, just being able to do what we did yesterday. You know,
is COVID a big deal up here?
No. No. The only impact COVID had on me is there was a, whatever, 2-week period that restaurants in town were only doing curbside. And that was just for a couple of weeks, you know, and beyond that, I mean, put it this way, you know, I met 2 new guys yesterday, those lawyers that came out, and there was, you know, everybody shaking hands. There's no thought of masks or any shit like that. It's life is normal. And we've had 0 cases in the whole county, so that helps. And same with Idaho. Lemhi County, I think we've had 1 case there. So everywhere I'm hanging out, it's not a... It's not a factor.
Interesting. What about one other question about living up here and working up here is, are there more and more people every day that are coming up here to, I mean, to live? Is Montana becoming a greater destination as people?
It is. You're starting to see a lot more out-of-state money show up. Specifically around the Bozeman area is just going crazy. College town too, so you've got that. But watching real estate right now is is insane.
Really?
Just out-of-state money coming in.
Everybody want a piece of the month. Bring their liberal values to Montana.
Yeah, get a piece. There's some of that.
Is there?
And depending on where you go. I mean, just from town to town, you know, Billings compared to Bozeman, one's a blue-collar town, one's a white-collar town, that you're seeing an incredible amount of out-of-state folks coming in and either buying a summer home or, you know, trying to make it through the winter, which most don't. They'll go back to wherever they came from for the winter. And in Idaho, it's, you know, where we're at is 3 hours from anything, you know, Walmart-sized town. So you're starting to see a lot of, well, you don't start. It's been that way for 15 years I've been there. You'll see out-of-staters come in, buy a little piece, and within 2 years they're gone.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. The winter just kicks their ass right out of there.
No, the winter's no bullshit. We were talking, I mean, I would love to own. Rudy and I were talking. I mean, I'd love to split my time between here and the hill of San Clemente looking over the Pacific Ocean. But, and I tell you, my kids, actually, I texted my oldest son, who's a gun asshole and loves to hunt, North Dakota boy, through and through. And I said, hey, should I talk to Rob about maybe you coming up here and hunting? And he's like, do you seriously expect an answer to that question? Do you not know? And he said, and please stop sending the pictures. The range thing yesterday literally almost made me cry. So I sent him this. It's actually funny. My family has a group text thing, right? Like, it doesn't say, my family one doesn't say ask clowns. It says family. I put this picture of us shooting. I can't remember if it was Rob or Rudy in a prone position on this platform shooting. And it's just absolutely gorgeous. And I send the picture, and the caption is Big Timber, Montana. Within a couple of minutes, my son takes a picture of his computer monitor in his office at Camp Lejeune. And underneath it, he writes Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. So it was funny, but he's like, yeah, don't send us pictures. It's not good for me to see that. I'm like, but it's so much fun, John. It's like, and he's like, Dad, look, I know why you're doing this. And I said, does it make me a bad human being? And he said, yes. What's really the best part of coming up here? You got your oldest son with you.
Well, that's been extra special.
You've been here before. You came to see Rob. You were
flying.
Because
I was flying when I had my corporate aviation company. I got contracted to fly up here for a real estate developer, and he was looking at, he develops in Bozeman, much like what Rob's talking about, more and more money coming up and Bozeman growing. And so he was up here for a couple of days, and he loves to fish as well. So he was like, hey, let's fly up, and then I'm going to fish for a few days. You can just do what you want. And I reached out to Rob. I'm like, hey, are you by chance near Bozeman? And he was like, heck yeah, you know, come on out. So we ended up spending a couple of days out here and kind of doing what we've been doing the last couple of days, and I just fell in love with the place. It's just so not only picturesque and beautiful, but you're just secluded and you're just off the grid, and it's just a way to decompress. And then what happened was Brock and I try to do a summer fishing trip somewhere, and we've gone to Ketchikan and fish with a good friend of mine up there. We've gone to Seattle and fished out up a salmon up there, but Brock's never fly fished. And
home of Pete Carroll and the Seahawks.
Yes, Pete Carroll and the Seahawks.
And I threw that one out yesterday. Rob showed great restraint.
He did. He was.
Rob hates Pete Carroll, right? And it doesn't take much. You don't hardly have to chuck. The chum doesn't even hit the water before the great white shark comes out and kills it. So Brock's standing there, because Rudy's a Seahawk fan.
And Brock is a huge Seahawk fan.
So I said, hey, Brock, do you like Pete Carroll? Oh, yes. Rob just
Brock
sat
just
there.
Biting looked, his lip over there.
Looked at me like an alligator. Like,
if he wasn't 15, I'd be all over this.
Then you ask him, well, why do you like him so much? He's like, well, he chews a lot of gum, and I'm like, well, that makes him a freaking good person, doesn't it? And then I was done. I was like, please stop it now, because I'm already freaking angry about the whole shooting episode and Mac taking freaking half an hour in between each shot.
Mac's chumming the water. So then, but to bring Brock up here, and not only did we were talking about this earlier, is to have the experience of fly fishing and in the shoot, but I think just being around us, you know, and just being around, like, I think it's, he's actually grown as a person, and he'll remember this forever, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, my sons, who you all have met, I mean, when they were teenagers, you know, I mean, a little bit older than Brock was, I mean, them joining the Marine Corps, I think, because of meeting, you know, all my friends and, you know, sit around and they're, you know, how funny they are and the stories they tell, and but good people. And then when those guys treat you like an adult, it's like, holy shit.
Oh, you read my mind. It's like the fact that Brock's, you know, well, I was telling a story earlier is we, Rob and I were fishing or down the pond a little bit, and Rob said, "Hey, Brock, go get the ATV and bring it back over to us." And Brock kind of glanced at me like, "Am I allowed to do that?" I'm like, "Go, like this, you know, Rob trusts you, like it's okay." And so now he's just like, "I can't believe that these guys are trusting me." I feel his confidence, kind of like this is the greatest place ever. You know? It's like I get to shoot guns, I get to fish, I get to drive ATVs. I'm in these beautiful hills and mountains of Montana, and get to look at cows, and it's just amazing.
Now I've been doing post-traumatic winning, but Rob, you do some stuff with veterans up here, a little bit along those lines. So let's talk about that. How did you get involved in that?
Oh, the owner, now previous owner, he wanted to do something with veterans on the ranch and offer his ranch up to that. So we went out 4 years ago, kind of looking for the outfit that would match. And we kind of went through a few of them around. I mean, there's not a shortage. And then he came across Big Sky Bravery. They basically work with active duty special ops high deployers, and it's more of a retreat for them to get them off cycle for a little bit. And that runs out of Bozeman. We do twice a year here. And it's kind of the same thing we've been doing. You know, we're riding horses, and I actually use them for 2 years as just extra help. You know, we rode horseback over most of this ranch for a day trying to find 5 bulls in 12,000 acres. And, you know, for me, that's just a miserable experience. You know, you're out there all day, and it's when it starts to get hot, those bulls start getting in the brush and creek bottoms, and your dog's getting tired. And to have, you know, 5 or 8 guys that think it's the greatest thing in the world, it really makes your attitude, you know, come 4 o'clock when it's miserable and you're completely covered in dust and sweaty. And, you know, to see them smiling and taking pictures and thinking it's the greatest thing ever is a lot of fun. We've used them moving cows, actually processing cows, vaccinating calves and that kind of stuff. And they think it's the greatest thing in the world, you know, and then taking them fly fishing and out shooting prairie dogs and stuff like that. And then I think the real money's made for them, you know, 3 or 4 days into it, just the camaraderie and sitting around the lodge and, you know, getting to decompress. And then to watch them on the last day of the event, final dinner type of thing, talking about their experiences here. And when you work in an environment like this and you live it every day, you know, you kind of get numb to it, you know, just the opportunity in life. And then for me, it's, you realize what you have, you know, it makes me take a step back and look at it and go, dude, you should wake up a lot happier every morning, you know? And just to hear them talk about it and get emotional about the experience and go, shit, I live this way every day. You know, and so it resets me, you know, twice a year. So I enjoy it. And the owner of the ranch, it gives him swells his heart to see those guys just, you know, have the experience and what it means to them. So it's good. You know, and all the organization, there's no active duty – no veterans running it. It's all,
oh really?
It's all straight civilian guys that want to give back, and you know, they come out and cater to these guys for 4 or 5 days, and the guys that are doing it are, you know, multimillionaires, and they're just playing servant, cooking breakfast, cleaning up.
The food tends to be above average. Yeah?
It tends to be above average, depending on who's here. But you know, they just want to give back.
Right.
And I think that does a lot for the guys that show up to it as well. They just realize that, holy shit, there's people out there that actually really do give a shit. Like, not just a little bit, but a lot. You know, they're going to sacrifice a week of their time to come out here and wipe my butt for me in the middle of nowhere, Montana. And you can see that, you know, that means a lot to them. And they go back to work, and it's kind of like, you know, people do give a shit about what we do every day and what goes on in between our ears. You know, they do think about it, and that resets them, and it's just a good deal. So we're going to mostly working with the Army side of the house, but the owner's son, he's at IOC right now. So he said, we're doing stuff with Marines. I don't care if we've got to just do it on our own. You know, whether we contact the Wounded Warriors, whether we contact, you know, MARSOC, whatever it is, we're going to do something. It's not hard. You know, bring them out here and just show them a good time. You know, pay some airfare, and it's not hard. So we're probably going to start doing that on the Marine side of the house coming up next summer.
That's awesome.
I want to be a part of that, man. I read an email that I got yesterday. And again, I mean, you know, these guys who've given so much, they go looking for help. They don't find any, and then they cross paths with me. And, you know, the email is how excited he is to work with young, you know, with foster kids who've been through their own traumatic thing. And he never saw the linkage between him being wounded and what he's gone through and the fact that he could use that to influence somebody's life to the better. And then ultimately they might. So, I mean, the email, I'll show it to you when we're done. I read it in the first part of the show. And it's just, you know, it's a life changing experience. And so, and plus it would get my ass up here more. So I'm all for that, because I haven't had a bad meal since I entered Montana. I'm not going to lie to you. So, first of all, Rob, thanks for having us. We're going to go to Big Timber, right? I want to hang wherever you're going today. I'm like in tow.
No, you can hang out here. I'm just going to run town, run some errands.
Why would I want to hang out here? I want to go run errands.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Rudy, any final thoughts?
No. Amazing, amazing. Love it.
All right. From
many, many thanks.
For the first time, and hopefully not the last, from Big Timber, Montana. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio. Rob listens to the show. This show keeps you sane, right? That's how bad your life is.
Yeah. That's
right. He said, Rudy showed me, look at this big speakers Rob listens to All Marine Radio on. Until you shut it off, right?
Yeah.
I can't take it anymore.
That's right.
All right. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. That'll do it on a Thursday. I can't tell you how much fun this is. I think you can hear it in everybody's voice. And you've heard that all week. You know, I used to say good on top of good on top of good on top of good on top of good. But I don't say that anymore. it's better than that. It's great on top of great, on top of great, on top of great. And doing good things with good people, seeing friends who you've been, you know, battle buddies with. And, you know, the three of us here today, we spent a year in Afghanistan together. And, I mean, both the guys you heard are incredible professionals. Problem solvers, first and foremost. Devoted to other people. And it's awful cool to be up here with them and having a good time. So anyway, on a Thursday, the Lynch Kenny Costantini thing will be back next week. I just don't have the bandwidth to do that. So have a great day on a Thursday. All Marine Radio, over and out.